You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with actress Alicia Witt. As the star of the updated version of Jane Austen's Modern Persuasion, Witt plays Wren Cosgrove, a driven career woman who deals with the aftermath of a failed relationship when an ex-boyfriend hires her company. In this one-on-one, Screenfisher Heather Johnson speaks to Witt about her personal connection with the character Wren, what she hopes modern audiences take away from the film, and her time in Nashville. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
You can always start and work your way up. You know, you could get a nice, like, blunt angled bob kind of thing right there at the shoulders. That never goes out. But I've always been willing to play with my hair. I figured it'll grow back if I don't like it.
So. Absolutely.
But I don't have your hair color. So I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe I should do more now because I love that in the movie, too. I was like, she is so vibrant. I love that.
Thank you. Well, that's also the thing is being a redhead and a redhead that doesn't really know how to style my own hair very well in real life. I just feel like whatever I do, whether it's messy or long or short, it's, I feel like people are distracted by the fact that it's red. So I can get away with having it be, I mean, I haven't really done anything to it today.
I think it looks great, especially with the hat. That's one thing I can never do is a hat, ever. Oh. So, you know, so you've got that going for you. So I say roll with that. I'm Heather, by the way. I just start talking. How are you?
I'm Alicia.
This wonderful to meet you. I got pulled onto this just a few days ago, actually. So I'm also getting a chance to get caught up. I'm with Screenfish, and it's a website, you know, it's based out of Canada, but I'm actually in the U.S. So, yeah, I'm in Kentucky. So I'm in the middle of nowhere.
You're my neighbor. I'm in Nashville.
We can be friends. Yeah. I know our time is short, so I won't keep chatting you up. Yes. So Modern Persuasion. What got me intrigued about this is, as an English major, I had to take an entire semester on Jane Austen. So, and wow. I feel like, yes. And this tends to be, I think, one of her underrated stories. So kind of right off the bat, I was admittedly a little nervous because when you modernize something that is from such an influential and well-known author and time period, it's risky. This was absolutely delightful. I loved it. It was witty and charming and engaging, and I've already used the word vibrant. So first off, thank you for being a part of something that made me happy. Since Jane Austen fans can be protective over her stories. So what drew you into this project?
Well, I had loved the novel Persuasion. In fact, it might be of the ones that I can think of off the top of my head. I think it is my favorite of Jane Austen's novels. I was homeschooled, so I read a lot of literature as a young girl, and I think this is one that stayed with me because of the story of the what if, the idea that you sometimes crash paths with the person that perhaps you're meant to spend the rest of your life with. Mm-hmm. And sometimes life gets in the way and throws you some curveballs and you don't end up with that person, but you never forget about them. Yeah. So I love the fantasy of that and the idea that it could happen. If you're thinking of someone, maybe they're thinking of you out there too and wondering what if. I was in Prague working on the Amazon series Lore when I got the call to have a Skype meeting with these directors, Alex and Johnny. And I talked with them around 2 a.m. Czech time, which I think is like 8 o'clock New York time. And I was just hoping that I seemed awake enough, and I knew they were casting it fast, so I wanted to talk to them. And I was just thrilled when they asked me to be a part of it. And the whole experience did have a sort of timeless feel about it. I liked that the script, while it's set in modern New York, it also has a sort of poetry about the dialogue. And even the grandness of the scenes, the so many scenes in which there's many people, just characters that are colliding and comings and goings. And I think those great English literature novels, that's sort of a mainstay of them. There's scenes on boats and scenes in grand parlor rooms and loading docks and the scenes out in the Hamptons where everyone is in the gardens playing and socializing. It kind of feels very reminiscent in a not on the nose way to the time period of Jane Austen. And I think the cast reflects that as well.
Yep.
I loved having read the script and becoming attached to it and then hearing on a daily basis of all the new people that were being cast. I just was delighted on a constant basis by what our ensemble looks like. It's a beautiful cast.
It really was. And it just, everybody flowed and mixed so well together. And I think that's something that's so important is when you're pulling from characters that people already know and have relationships with because they've read these books and they've attached themselves to it, to see them on a screen portrayed in a way that's, to your earlier point, reminiscent of that, but not like super obvious either. It wasn't forced at all. The mentions, even just things like Wentworth, just the small mentions that pull it together without trying to recreate what was there originally, but retell it in such a way that is, that's relatable and that people can understand now. I mean, longing and kind of looking back to the what ifs is absolutely universal. You're not going to find anybody that doesn't have a moment in their life where they're like, what if I had gone this way instead of, you know, gone right instead of left or straight instead of backwards. And the cast and the script, I love your point of the sets themselves and the Hamptons and the parties and then the little offices, even the hospital. There's which was hilarious.
Yes.
You cracked me up. I was laughing out loud then at that whole scene, like just the car, all of it. But it is, and there's that reality element to it, but still taking you back to, you know, kind of that original story.
Yes.
And again, that's such an attribution to the script and the engagement of all of you. Since you had that kind of personal connection with this story, did you find it easy to get into Rin's character, or did you kind of have to pull from some of your own experiences? And, you know, obviously she's not a direct translation of Anne. So just kind of curious how you brought her to life.
On one hand, it felt to me as though Rin is, she's happy, she's satisfied, but she's also, I think we meet her at a moment in her life when she's kind of coasting along and she's in a way the glue that's holding the people around her together. She embraces her position as such in the company, and she has enough people around her that she can rely on for support, but she's in a place where I think she's very much in need of something to come along, like Owen returning to her life. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she could have told you that before Owen's arrival, but it's a beautiful place to start a story from. And I loved that we only have a brief glimpse of Rin before that happens to her. So then we get to see the version of her that she's become in the last few years, challenged by the version of her that she used to be. I could definitely relate on a personal level from some of my earlier relationships and the sense that when we're younger, the people that we are attracted to, that we find ourselves dating, it's all based on instinct. We don't have the same history that we have as we get older. So I think we have more of a filter on in life, but in general, in specific to dating, you know? So sometimes we end up in relationships with people that make sense on the page when we're older. But when we're young, it's just that raw chemistry, the unquestionable sense that you want to be around that person. And I can relate to getting older and looking back to that pure connection and thinking, gosh, what if I got it right the first time or the second time? And I didn't know because I had nothing to compare it to. Mm. There were definitely some scenes that I filmed with Shane where I was able to kind of see an ex or two in his eyes.
Would that be one of the end of his launch party scenes, perhaps, where he's where you're kind of just like sitting there and those moments are coming and it's just like your facial expressions, it's just, you did such a great job showing us what could be going on in Ren's mind and heart and that like pull in that tension. So that would make sense that you were able to visualize that because it comes across beautifully.
Thank you. I think that in a storyline like this, there has to be such a history there. And of course, all we have as actors to go on is what's on the page. So, and our own life and the experiences that we've had. So it's kind of a combination of seeing what's there, but then imagining 10 other parallel conversations that are happening in the space between them during any given spoken conversation that's happening. And all the questions, just not knowing. We never really know what another person is truly thinking. We can only try to guess. And when there's all those years between the last time you've seen them, I think you don't want to say the wrong thing. You don't want to turn them away. You don't want to even blow a friendship, if that's all it is, if they're going to come back into your life, but this time it won't be as a partner. You don't want to sabotage that either. So there's a lot of unspoken feelings and thoughts and memories. And I loved kind of getting to relive some of my own history through Ren's experience in the filming of this movie.
So is there anything about Ren that you would want to make sure that viewers kind of take home with them about her, whether it's being willing to put yourself back out there when that moment happens or speaking up sooner in life before those opportunities pass you by? What is it about Ren's story that you really hope resonates with people when the movie ends?
I hope that it inspires some people to reconnect with either the person they're currently with, because I think you can fall in love with somebody and choose to stay with them and then kind of lose sight of them, even if they're still next to you. So perhaps it'll remind those couples why they fell in love in the first place, help them to reconnect. I do very much hope that if there's someone out there watching who has someone in their past that they miss, perhaps it'll make them reach out to them. And it doesn't have to be a partner. It can be just a friend, someone that was once significant to them that they haven't spoken to in years. Maybe this movie will remind them that if you're thinking of them, they're probably thinking of you too. At least it's worth a shot. You know, there's nothing ventured and nothing gained. So you can't just sit back and think, maybe they'll reach out to me someday. And the only thing that gets hurt is your pride if they don't want to talk to you. But there's nothing worse than regretting if you had just reached out one more time, you know.
I don't think there's
any harm in that. And there's no harm either in sending love telepathically to somebody that perhaps life won't allow you to reach out to. Hmm. It's never too late to make amends with someone. That's a little deeper than I than I expected, but I don't know. More than anything, I hope that people will watch Modern Persuasion and just feel happy and enjoy it and remember that in this crazy year of disconnection and uncertainty, we still have each other, and we will get back to a day when we can gather in large mm-hmm. groups freely and not be worried.
Yeah, it's almost hard to watch movies right now where you see people all gathered together. One, because you're like, wait a minute, we're not supposed to do that. And two, it's when was the last time we did that? And that was what was so great about that for me just these past couple of days is just the way the movie was made, at least for me, feeling like I was a part of that story and that the engagement level, it was so engaging. And I've said it once before, but it was just colorful. There was a vibrancy to it, literally down to what people are wearing but also the sets and just the interactions and the facial expressions. It really was just, it was like kind of just like exactly something that I needed right now. And I think that will translate well, and hopefully other people will feel the same. Just an opportunity to where a story that had once been sad has turned joyful again. And that opportunity has happened, that there is hope and there are those miracles of love. Even when we grow older and grow cynical and a little bit harder, it's those cracks can be broken through if we just put ourselves out there. And I loved that journey for Ren, being the kind of always on person, but the minute Owen walked in that door and she slams her head underneath the table because she has to physically hide from him. It was hilarious. But you can rise up from busting your head under a table and take that ownership of what happens next and all of the fun and messy stuff that happens in between. So
yeah,
I definitely hope the same thing, that people walk away from this and say, maybe I need to send a phone call. Maybe I need to shoot a text. Or maybe I just need to kind of sit and let myself remember that with joy and not always with sadness.
That's a really beautifully eloquent way of saying that. I like that a whole lot. That's exactly right. Sit in joy and celebrate those relationships, whether it's by reaching out or just by remembering them and sending them love in your head. Because every one of them brings us to exactly where we are right now.
That's true. I know I think I've got maybe time for maybe one more thing. Want to be mindful of, I'm sure, all that you've got going on. So I would feel like we ended on a really good deep note. Maybe we'll just kind of thing. Shane, were you in the same episode of Nashville? He was in Nashville as well. It was a 2016 episode, and it had one of the same names as one of your episodes. So,
what episode was it?
Let me pull it up right now.
I'm sure. I mean, they wouldn't name two episodes the same thing, so it has to be the same episode. That's bonkers.
Right? I think it is. So I was just doing a little bit of research. I've never, it's What I Cannot Change.
Yeah, I was in that episode.
And if I recall my IMDb research correctly, Shane, where's 2016? Was in a What I Cannot Change episode of 2016.
How about that?
You weren't together in that episode.
We were not. And that never came up in our conversation.
Well, now you've got something to like tell him later. Be like, hey. I talked to this person
I have a confession though, which may or may not be interesting, but you just reminded me that I've had this experience a number of times, and Nashville is one of those shows where I loved that show. I watched every episode of it. It was my kind of guilty pleasure show because, it had all the intrigue and the scandals and the romance and all the drama. And of course it was set in Nashville, where I now live. But at the time it was just the place I came as frequently as I could and made my music and made friends. And So I would love watching Nashville and spotting all the places that I went to, recording studios I'd worked at, for example. But I definitely absorbed into the show like a fan, and I thought of the actors as their characters and all that stuff. And then when I got asked to be on the show, I was crazy excited and thrilled. And then, of course, I got to know them, the actors, and I didn't watch the first episode that I appeared in, but I never saw another episode of the show after that. It's the weirdest thing, and it happened to me with Ally McBeal too. And it's not like I stopped liking the show. It's just the power of disbelief was busted.
The veil was gone.
Yeah, I was no longer watching my favorite characters on my like guilty pleasure TV show on Wednesday night. Suddenly I was like, oh, there's Chip and there's Sam and there's Aubrey. You know, since I do this for a living, there's only a few shows I can really kind of dive deep into. And once I'm on them, I never saw the episode in question, is what I'm trying to say.
Now you know. Random trivia for Shane next time you talk to him. But I know we've got to wrap up. So I would I've so appreciated and enjoyed this. Thank you so much. It comes out Modern Persuasion comes out this week, right? I believe Friday. And we will definitely be singing the praise for it. And again, thank you so much and have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you. Same to you and happy
holidays. Thank you. You as well.